I think I'll read in sections to that, so we'll read a section at a time. Mm-hmm. We'll read Joel chapter 1 and verses 1 to 7 to start. Joel chapter 1 and verses 1 to 7. Joel verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, you old men, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm has left, has the locust eaten. That which the locust has left, has the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm has left, has the caterpillar eaten. Awake, you drunkards, and weep, and howl, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He has laid my vine waste, and barked my fig tree. He has made it clean bare, and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. We pray the Lord bless that reading to us, and that we continue to read through this chapter tonight. Lord, bless us, we pray, guide us and direct us, and bless us, Lord, in what you have to say to us tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We read through these three chapters of Joel, and really we don't have any idea of exactly when this all took place, but I think that's your purpose, that we might see this in the context of future developments, because as we read through it, we'll gather that Joel is speaking about future developments way beyond his time, and still even to the future. So, wherever this took place, and there are lots of discussions about when this was written, when Joel lived, I believe the scripture is deliberately not clear, that we might have the understanding that there is a principle being applied here for God's people Israel, and a principle which will apply to the nation of the world as well, and all that will come to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be brought back to God. Joel's name means Jehovah, or Yah. Jehovah is God, and he's the son of Bethuel. Bethuel means enlarged of God. There is a man that was blessed.
Yes.
And now the nation that Joel is speaking to, whether it's prophetically into the future or whether it's at the time that he's living, could be both, or it is both, from times of enlargement and times of blessing,
yes,
they've gone away from the Lord,
yeah,
and they're facing judgment. God has a concern for his people, and God has a concern for the land that they're in. This is a sort of state of the nation introduction for the people of God, for the people of Israel. And the Lord is appealing through Joel to those men, to those people who could testify to the times of God's blessing in the past.
Yes.
All inhabitants of the land. Hear this, you old men. And inhabitants of the land now. Has this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? The times that you are now going through, the times of scarcity, the times, yeah, where things are going wrong, things are being broken down. The nation is being laid bare. The country is being laid bare.
Yes.
He appeals to them. Have you known this time? And the answer from the older generation is no. We knew times of blessing in the past. God was good to us. Something's gone wrong. And he's saying, well, tell it to your children, and tell it to your children to tell their children, and to tell their children another generation.
Yes.
What you've known from the past, the times of blessing, which you don't know now, pass it on to your children that there were times of blessing.
Yes.
There's going to be that hope that the times of blessing will be brought back again. The Lord will deal with this situation.
Yes.
We live in similar times today.
We do.
We live in similar times today. This is why it's so appropriate for today. We can talk to people. If I see a report in the newspaper of a fellow of 70 getting knocked over in Hadley or something like that, they say, an elderly man got knocked down. And I think, hey, what do they say? They say it's something who's 65.
Yeah.
An elderly man was attacked by robbers. But people of my generation, who are Christians and have known the North for many years, can testify to times of great blessing in the past. Not the entertainment razzmatazz that goes on nowadays that is Cambridge's blessing, but the blessing of Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit outpouring, and worship and praise in the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's spontaneous, not something that's been rehearsed all week to be performed on Sunday, but something which moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And the blessing of the Lord, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And Lord, we need to see those days again.
Yes.
It's disobedience that's brought in these wrong things. And they are wrong things.
Yes.
We're not in the business of entertainment. We want to see the blessing of the Lord that makes rich. And he has no sorrow after. Praise the Lord. And we've got to pass this on to the next generation, and the next generation. We have a generation, you see, that knows nothing else in some of the big churches that are going to church on Sunday for a good entertaining time.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be in those fellowships where every person is part of the body of Christ performing their function in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
These are the times in which we are living. We ask, as the present generation, the new generation today, do they know the blessings that we once knew in that Holy Spirit inspired and filled ministry and worship and praise?
Yes.
All we need to pass the message on, that men and women, young people, will seek the Lord and his word.
Yes.
That we might know what the New Testament has for us. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You know, sometimes people can't stand today hearing the word of God. They don't want the word of God. That's borrowed stuff. They want the razzmatazz.
Yes.
Well, the word of God is precious.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And to those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, the word of God is a blessing.
Yes.
And pass the message on. Pass it on to another generation. The generation to come might be blessed in the things of the Lord. In verse 4, we read about the consequences of disobedience. The consequences of disobedience, the consequences of moving away from the Lord, the consequences of just carrying on our own strength and own desires and own will, it's brought problems to the land itself.
Yes.
The land itself, which God said would be fruitful. The promise he made to Moses, the promise he made to the Israelites as they came through the wilderness and into the promised land, was it would be a fruitful land. It would be watered by the Lord. What is the situation now? There's a situation there in verse 4. That which the palmer worm has left has the locust eaten. That which the locust has eaten has the canker worm eaten. And that which the canker worm has left has the caterpillar eaten.
Yeah.
You think you can salvage something, but another disaster comes along.
Yes.
You think you can salvage something and something else comes along.
Yeah.
Everything in the end is laid bare.
Yes.
There was no end to the poverty that was brought upon the land, the destruction that was brought on the land. In the end, there's nothing left. And we can know the blessing of God if we follow his word. But if we don't,
yes,
if we don't, we're going to be brought along times of testing.
That's right.
I'm not going into details about these different creepy crawlies. Some people argue that they're all stages of the same creature. I think the one to concentrate on is the locust.
Yes.
Others say, no, they're totally different creatures. Doesn't matter. That's not the point. We don't want a biological discussion on the types of creatures they were. All what we need to know is that one wave after another ran further and further into poverty and onto its knees.
Yes.
That's how it goes. If we continue in disobedience, the problems continue.
Yes.
It's worse.
Get worse.
In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 38, it says, you should carry much seed out into the field, and you should gather but little in.
Yes.
You're disobedient, that's what's going to happen. For the locust shall consume it.
That's right.
And what we read there in verse 4 is the locust to the power of 4. Again and again and again.
Yes.
So that in the end, there's nothing left. And we read through Joel. Joel can see that final judgment is coming.
Yeah.
And he wants to get the people prepared for this final judgment. It's that old saying, isn't it? Just when you think it couldn't get any worse, it gets worse. The first 5 years is the call.
The wake up.
The wake up call. To those who the drinkers of the wine, the new wine. We know some one or two things in the New Testament about new wine. New wine put in new bottles. Not to be drunk. I mean, don't be intoxicated. Not to be consumed.
No.
But to put away to be stored. Because we know from what Jesus said, actually, the old wine is better. The new wine, unless you're a Beaujolais drinker, the new wine is for storing, not for drinking. But here they are. They must have consumed all their stocks of the old wine. They drink the new wine. And there's no new wine left. Even that now has been cut off. There's nothing for the future. We're not doing a study on wine drinking. It's just a principle here. They've consumed everything and there's nothing for the future. They've wasted their lives and there's nothing for the future.
No spirit.
He says, awake! Awake to situations! Weep! How? You should be in a state of repentance and crying out for the Lord to help you. You see, there's a time coming, a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion,
sharp
teeth of a great lion. Don't know when this was. Some people say it was the Babylonians. I don't want to go into the discussions on that, because there's many arguments for and against. Joel is speaking about what's in store for a disobedient people. And in this situation, there's a nation come up on the land, strong. And what's happened now? My vine is waste. He's barked my fig tree. Stripped all the wild off.
Yeah.
That's not going to do it any good. No protection. He made it clean bare. Cast away. The branches therefore made white. The bark's all been stripped off. Who's he speaking about? He's laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. In Isaiah, chapter 6 and verse 7, it says this. It's a song of the Lord's vineyard. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant part.
Yes.
And he looked for judgment, and behold oppression, for righteousness, and behold a cry. The vine is God's people of Israel.
Yes.
All praise God, Jesus came.
Yes.
Jesus said, I am the true vine.
Yes.
Abide in me. The branches have got to abide in the vine and abide in the branches. Hallelujah. Thank goodness in the New Testament there's a revelation of God's people in Jesus Christ.
Thank you,
the
Lord.
The true vine. Hallelujah. And my fig tree is barked. Well, you can read about the fig tree in Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 21. Matthew 21 and verses 19 to 20. When he saw a fig tree, Jesus is this, when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. He came to the fig tree looking for fruit, just like the people of Israel that he came to is looking for fruit. There was none.
Yes.
He said to it, let no fruit grow on you henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said to them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you should not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also you should say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, it shall obey you. I'm a bit on, it's too far. This is the Lord's people. And an enemy has come in. We know who the enemy is. Why is the church like it is today? The church is genuine. Why is there no moving in the power of the Spirit?
Yeah.
Why is it all going to be based on human talent and human ability?
Yeah.
An enemy has done this. That's what Jesus said about the tares sown in the field.
Yeah.
An enemy has done this. And there's no fruit. There's no fruit. And the tree has been peeled of the bark. There's nothing left around it to protect it. Oh, let's move in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's move in the Lord. And know He's surrounding us every day with His presence. And know that fruitfulness. And nations that has come upon my land. A godless foreign nation. In the vain divine waste, there's no fruit. The fig tree has to be cast away. It's been exposed. Seemingly, there seems to be no hope. Seemingly, for Israel, there appears to be no hope. Seemingly, for the church today that's gone away from the power of the Holy Spirit, moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, there seems to be no hope. But praise God, these things are in the Scripture.
Yes.
But where there is no hope, there might be hope. If we will turn from our wrongdoings and put our faith and trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. So it is for Israel. And the consequences. The consequences we can read about in verses 8 to 12. Lament like a virgin, girded with sackcloth, for the husband of her youth. The meat offering, which would be as the meal offering, it's not meat at all, it's meal, it's fine flour. The meal offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. The field is wasted, the land mourns, for the corn is wasted, the new wine is dried up, the oil languishes. Be ashamed, O you husbandmen. How long, you vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languishes. The pomegranate tree and the palm tree also, the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men.
Yes.
It's dried up. Some people don't have joy. Some believers don't have joy. Those things which should bring joy in our hearts. The Lord, the mention of his name. Hallelujah. Praise his name. The word of God. There's no joy. Oh, is that again? So joy. It's the consequences of disobedience, you see. It's the consequences. It's the manifestation of a life that wants other things and doesn't want the things of the Lord.
Yes.
It's like a virgin, says Joel. Girded with sackcloth. Why? Because it's for the husband of the youth. But she's still a virgin. It's for the husband of the youth. Her marriage has not been consummated. There's no offspring. There's no fruit. See, what the Lord wants in our lives is fruit that's glorified to his name. Jesus spoke about being the true vine, and he said that if we abide in the vine, we shall bring forth fruit. We shall bring forth much fruit. We shall bring forth fruit that will remain.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And here's a virgin. The husband of her youth must have died or something. The marriage hasn't been consummated. There is no union. There's no offspring. There's no fruit. She's clothed in sackcloth. Her life is a life of mourning and disappointment. And the Lord says, lament like that virgin, because that's what you're in. That's the situation you're in.
Lament.
There's no fruit.
Yes.
And there should be fruit. And we, if there's no fruit, we need to lament. And I do lament sometimes that there's not fruit that we should be seeing in the fellowship of God's people. Fruit that's a manifestation of the life, the Spirit of God, fruit that is revealed in souls being one for the Lord. Oh, let's pray, hallelujah, that there might be much fruit. Much fruit. And verse 9 brings another revelation. That the meal offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. Now why did the prophet focus on the meal offering? Why not the whole burnt offering? Why not the peace offering or the trespass offering or the sin offering?
Yeah.
Oh, the meal offering, you see. The offerings in Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 1 onwards, the offerings are types of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his perfect offering.
Yes.
All those offerings are a revelation, are a way of explaining and showing the one offering of Jesus Christ is the whole burnt offering. Totally for the Lord. Totally for God. But the meal offering, this is a revelation of the life of Jesus Christ. And as we come in worship and praise, it should be the revelation of our lives in Christ Jesus. What is that? The meal offering was of fine flour. Fine flour. No lumps. No lumps. Perfect. Fine throughout. It's the life of Jesus. His whole life throughout is absolutely pure and perfect. There's nothing to cause offence to God. Praise the Lord. The only offence that there was our sin laid upon him.
Amen.
Which brought down the wrath of God upon him. For our sakes that we might be saved. Hallelujah. For the life of Jesus was pure and perfect. And our lives in him can be the same.
Right.
You see, what happened amongst the people of God here was that the meal offering disappeared. They've gone away from God.
Yes.
There is no purity. There is no perfection.
Yes.
There is no completeness. there's no meal offering. And there's no drink offering. The drink offering is associated with the meal offering.
The Holy Spirit,
and it's poured out before the Lord. When they poured out that wine for the Lord, it's all for him. See, in that meal offering, there was no leaven. He says, with the meal offering, you will not use leaven.
Yes.
There will be no leaven. Leaven is a type of sin.
Yeah.
When Jesus offered his life for us, he was the spotless Lamb of God, perfect.
Yes.
Before man, there was no sin. And they put frankincense, they pour oil over it, type of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And frankincense, that precious worship that ascends and is pleasing to God. God was pleased with his Son. He declared it from heaven. This is my beloved Son,
amen,
in whom I am well pleased. And it was burnt upon the altar. An offering made by fire as a sweet savour unto the Lord, says in Leviticus chapter 2. Absolutely pure. The moral purity. Complete purity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And another little extra in Leviticus chapter 2 was it was seasoned with salt.
Yes.
What sort of salt? The salt of the covenant.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. That's secure for us.
Yes.
In Jesus Christ. The new covenant in Christ Jesus. It says here, the meal offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. They mourn. Because it's cut off. Because things aren't as they used to be.
They ain't, that's right.
And there are people of my generation and older that are mourning today, if they're still alive, mourning today for the time. It's not just old people looking back and wasn't it wonderful in the good old days.
No.
The Spirit of God moved in mighty ways.
Yes, it's not now, that's right.
Not today. Because people have taken over and said, well, we can organise that, we can arrange all that. All the people of God will just come together. And that the Spirit of God move upon a meeting,
yes,
hallelujah, not one that's been planned out and to perfection and practiced and rehearsed, but one that where we come and we're willing and we want the Holy Spirit to move,
yes,
to glorify the Lord and magnify his wonderful name.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Do it without the Holy Spirit, do it your own way, practice it to perfection,
yes,
and you've left room for the enemy to get in. There'll be jealousy, there'll be arguments, there'll be I'm better than him and all the rest of it. The enemy will get in and work confusion. That's what happened with the people of Israel.
Yes.
That's what happened with the people of old. That's how the enemy got in. And laid white on my vine waste and barked my fig tree, made it clean bare. And so it goes on in verse 10 to say, the field is wasted. The land mourns. The corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up. The oil languishes. Everything's going wrong. And you know those things are precious to the Lord. The land is the land of Israel. It's mourning. The field is wasted. The field is the Lord's vineyard.
Mm.
It's wasted. The land is the land of Israel. It's mourning. Mm. It's sighing for the Lord. And then there's the corn and the new wine and the oil. Corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up. Nothing for the future, you see. The new wine is gone. There's nothing for the future. Nothing to pass on.
No spirit.
The blessings that I knew years ago, I trust I know them today as well. No blessings are passed on. Mm. The new wine is dried up. So there's not going to be any other wine in the future. And the oil languishes. The oil is sick. It's mourning. You know, the oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. And you know, these are three areas of God's blessing in the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
In Psalm 104, verse 15, it speaks about the wine that makes glad the heart of man. And the oil that makes his face to shine. Filled with the Holy Spirit, radiating the glory of God. And bread, that's where the corn is involved. The bread which strengthens man's hearts. That bread, the Word of God, revealed in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I am the bread of life, says Jesus. Be ashamed, you husbandmen, how you vine dresses for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest fulfilled has perished. The harvest of the field is perished. The husbandmen, they're the farmers, the ploughmen. How are the vine dressers? The main crops have gone. The vine is dried up. The fig tree mourns. Therefore all the trees of the field are withered. Why? Because it says joy is withered, dried up, joy is withered away from the sons of men.
Yes.
You know, withering of a plant doesn't start when you cut the stem. I've been trimming the ivy, but we're not cutting it out, actually, not trimming it out, cutting it out. And I've snipped some of the ivy, just left it. And the next day, it looks quite fresh, because they're still alive. But by 5 or 6 days later, it's beginning to wither and dry up. The withering doesn't happen immediately.
Yes.
There can be an appearance of life.
Yes.
An appearance of joy, but eventually it will wither away.
Yes.
Because it's the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. It's the joy of the Lord. And when the people get far away from God, joy is withered away. And it's seen in the land, that all the land is withered away. In Psalm 96, it says, the Lord reigns. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. Isaiah 55, you know this verse. For you shall go out with joy, be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you with singing, and all the trees of the field, all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Luke 21, verse 29. Jesus speaks about the time when the fig tree and all the trees shall shoot forth concerning Israel. They dry up now, but they will shoot forth. In Jude, verse 12, Jude speaks about trees whose fruit withers without fruit twice dead. All of the people that know that fruit of the Lord. What's the fruit of the Lord? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, the whole revelation of the character and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In us. The fruit of the Spirit. All praise the Lord. In 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 4 to 8, 2 Peter. Peter speaks about the exceeding great and precious promises that have been given to us. That by being among the partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they shall make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We want to be fruitful. We want to know that fruitfulness. That fruitfulness, it's revealed, isn't it? In the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord that is our strength. These things have I spoken to you, says Jesus, that your joy may be full. Oh, hallelujah. Let's know that joy of the Lord. The people of God lost it. They lost that fruitfulness. It was manifested in the land, but it was also in their lives. All that we might manifest the joy of the Lord. Joy is not withered, dried up in those that know the Lord and filled with Holy Spirit. There's wonderful joy.
Sure.
In serving Jesus. Read through the New Testament. It's joy. The joy of the people of God. Joy in hard times. Joy in difficult times. It's the joy of the Lord. It's always there. Hallelujah.